Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two here at Sports Radio 610. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Cuckoo ca-choo, it's Johnny B. How's it going?
That's us, man. Hey, cuckoo man. Ca-choo. That's Beatles.
I don't even know. I just came up with it.
Yeah, that's the Beatles. They had that in one of the songs. Cuckoo ca-choo.
All right. Well,
all right, man.
I'm smarter than I thought I was.
We're going back and talking old school. That's part of it, too.
Yep.
Back in the day. All right. Well, cool. All right, well, let's get rolling here. Who do we have up next here? Mike Jeffcoat, huh? Venice, Louisiana. See if he's made it back there yet. Probably not. Mike, what's going on, man?
No, you're probably right.
Yeah, I know I'm right.
This is winter. I'm telling you. I'm glad I'm not.
We got another slammer coming next week.
I know.
Golly.
Just in time for the fishing show.
So. Well, just hang around. We'll just do the fishing show.
Well, I am.
Heck with running trips, just go to the show and have our reunion like we do every year.
Absolutely. So,
well, I think it's fun for about the first 3 days, but it starts killing me there day four and day five.
Man. Oh, I can imagine.
By then, golly.
Especially when you got to get up and do your deal every morning.
And I can't stay away from it. Everybody you get to see again and talk to.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeez.
Yep. So. Yeah, I imagine there's some bass fishermen that are probably not real happy about this time this morning. Because I know there's a big one on Rayburn right now that was supposed to fish. And,
yeah.
Rusty got out of pocket, and so we couldn't fish it. And But I'm kind of glad I'm not on Rayburn this morning either. I don't know what it's blowing up there, but I know it's cold up there this morning.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I hadn't checked all the triple the D's this morning.
Triple D's on Rayburn this weekend. So good luck, them boys, all I can tell them.
Yeah.
Boy, did you see where they caught that 40-pound string last weekend?
That's right. That was a sack there, bud. I was just talking to Richard about that a while ago.
That's crazy.
Had an 11 and a 10. I mean, he had it won with those two fish because the second place sack was 19 pounds.
That's crazy.
35 in Lufkin this morning. Right now.
Well, that ain't too bad.
No, not too bad.
Won't be no ice. Won't be no ice on your reel.
No, 70 miles an hour. It's kind of cold.
Yeah. What's the wind blowing up there?
No, I hadn't looked at that yet either. Let me do my observations here. It shouldn't be too bad. It's not bad down here on the coast.
Well, it's not. It laid down then.
Yeah, it's laid down. Nothing like
yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Boy, the last 2 days it's been something.
It's calm up there on the Big Sam this morning.
Good.
Highest wind I'm showing is over by Toledo Bend. It's 2.
2 miles an hour.
Yeah. Up at Etoile, it's 0. Down at the south end of the lake, it's 1. Yeah, there's no wind up there this morning.
That's good. Well, that's a good deal for them boys. They need it, especially on these cold mornings like this. So.
Yeah.
But, man, and I know we're not talking about Venice, which everybody knows it's all good in Venice, I can tell you that. Just them old redfish, them rubber lips, they're chomping down there. So it's just weather-wise, it ain't just too pleasant down there, I tell you right now. So
no.
What are they going to do about all our spawning fish here on Conroe and Lake Houston both?
Well, they were addressing that at that meeting the other night. You know, they were, the media was making it look like it was, you know, Conroe, you know, residents versus the downstream residents and all that. I mean, that all falls in the lap of the city of Houston and all our flood control around here. I mean, if they would do the improvements and use the money that's allocated for all that and do it properly, they wouldn't have to be doing these drastic predetermined, well, it looks like, you know, we got some weather coming in a couple of weeks down the road, we need to drop these lakes. And, you know, it's a catch-22. It's bad for the people downstream, you know, when they don't keep the lakes low enough to accommodate enough water when you get a big rain event, but then it's bad for the people upstream that live around the lake. And, you know, it drives their property values down because, they, you know, their docks are dry. And
right.
It's a mess.
Look, I'm not no rocket scientist, but when pool's full and they're talking 6 inches, this don't add up to me. Maybe I need to go back and research this a little more, but I don't see where 6 inches is going to make that big difference.
No, not when you get an event like Harvey and what we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, there's 2 foot don't make a difference when you have something like Harvey.
No.
I mean, so they need to get realistic about this. I don't know. And I'm probably making some people mad listening about this morning, but.
Well, you can't make everybody happy. I mean, everybody's on a different, you know, everybody's hung out to dry in different ways on this issue.
I mean, I've been thinking about that yesterday after I heard about all that. I got thinking about that. And I just, when you're full, you're full. And, I mean, I don't know. I hope it works for them. I feel sorry for our fish. I can tell you that, though, because it's going to definitely affect them fish. But it is what it is. I'm not the one in control of all that, so.
Well, and a lot of the city officials and politicians and everybody else like that, they look at that and say, well, that lake's not there for the fishermen and the fish.
Well, it's not. You know, you're
no,
exactly
and it's not. Right. Well, and that's true, but still.
But let's see how much. Let's go back and see how much money has been generated off of the fishing on that lake.
That's where I was going to go to next. Now, look what it does for the local economy in these areas.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
but then again, wow. With the extreme flooding, look what how detrimental it is to to people's lives downstream, and it's like my grandpa always said. He said, "Boy, they're making a big mistake damming up all these bodies of water like this. It's going to cause some real problems in the future." My grandpa always said that.
Said,
it's
going to
ruin
100%.
Fishing. It's going to ruin everything.
I agree 100%.
But when you got millions and millions of people flocking to these areas, you've got to have a water system for them. I mean, you got to have water to survive. You can't survive without water. Nothing can.
And, no. Well, I mean,
it's a bad deal, man. There's right. No good way to put this.
No, there's not. Because when I'm talking about full is full, let's take Lake Livingston, prime example. I mean, look how many times that they have to bust them gates open up there, and I don't care what the lake level is. Once that lake gets that one, what is it, 133?
131's normal pool.
Yeah, but when it hits like 133 and stuff, they go to dumping.
Oh, they turn it loose, buddy.
That's what I'm talking about. So, I guess I'm going to have somebody, an expert, explain all this to me because I just don't see where it makes a difference. It's just like that ditch that they got dug coming through your country over there. What's the hold up on that project now? I see it's still not open.
What, the one to Lake Houston?
Yeah.
that comes from the Trinity River watershed.
Right. Uh-huh.
I don't know what the current situation is on that. I bet you on Fun Sunday tomorrow, Ray Stanley will be able to tell me. There's nothing he didn't know about Lake Houston, man.
I guarantee you. So
I should have asked John Littleton that yesterday when I was talking to him. I didn't even think of it.
Yep. Well, it's right through your backyard over there. So I don't know. Somebody said it was dug all the way, but they still hadn't finished opening it. So,
yeah,
we'll have to see. That'd be interesting to see on that deal. You remember when they dug that one that comes through Nobert Highlands, just
right
above I-10 right there, and come into that big holding?
Uh-huh. Oh, you're talking about the one that that comes from, like, if you're going into Highlands from your right to left move, that comes under the road there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Trinity River Authority?
Yeah, they put the big holding ponds on the other side of the I-10 over there, like going
right,
down toward
the border of the old San Jacinto River there. That's that big water reservoir there.
Right. Boy, you talking about when they dug that thing and it first opened, they was some fish in that thing.
Boy, we used to walk the bank of that and throw spinner baits and catch all the bass. You couldn't catch all of them that were along those banks in there.
We used to water ski on that thing right there.
I remember y'all used to do that. I never did that.
It was crazy.
Pulling somebody with a car water skiing down the side of that levee, man. Golly.
We had a lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, is that reservoir still in effect, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Sure is. It's full of huge catfish and bass, too.
I bet it is.
I'd like to get invited in there to fish, man.
Oh, it won't be that new one they're digging in will be the same way. Them catfish will fill that thing up.
Oh, yeah. So. You know, they still use water dogs for, checking the stability of the water.
Really?
For contaminants and stuff. Yeah, it's like the old canary in the coal mine theory, bud.
Right?
Yep.
That's crazy. Oh. So, yeah, you talking about all that. I remember all the buddies I had around Highlands and stuff down there. Man, we used to go down there and shrimp above I-10.
Oh, yeah. Cast nets?
Charlotte's. No, we didn't know no cast net. We had an old trawl. We'd go up there. Was that Charlotte's Lake up there or something?
Yeah. Oh, the White's Lake.
White's Lake, yeah.
Yeah, you can't drag up there anymore, man. That's off limits. Anything above 146, you can't crab or shrimp. It's a nursery.
Oh, I would imagine.
It's considered it's a nursery now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No dredging, no dragging, no nothing.
Well, I guess that'd be them poor children getting raised in some rough water, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So that was, White's Lake. That was across from, what was that old inn? Was that Riverside Inn? Over
yeah, Riverside Inn. Yeah. Been a few beers drank at that place, too.
Oh, I wonder if that's still open.
Millions of hamburgers out of there.
So I don't even know if that's still open, is it?
Yeah, it's still open. Still
wow.
Is.
That is crazy. Huh. Anyhow, we've covered it all pretty much, Mickey.
Yeah, we have. I've gone down memory lane there, man. That's good stuff.
Memory lane, yeah. So you didn't fish up that way anymore?
Not the last 5 years with all the fresh water way up there. I mean, you can still fish upstream, all the, the back bays up there. But I don't keep fish from up there. If I do catch them, I'll turn them back. I'm not going to eat anything from up there, man. Are you kidding me? But there's guys that fill their boxes up and feed their customers those fish, man.
Oh, man. That's,
all those toxic waste dumps.
That was some rough country up there.
All them McGinnis waste pits and all that. And that's.
Yep. Absolutely.
But Ray Stanley's still alive. He's my canary in the coal mine up there. And still
looks
good.
I heard him on the radio the other morning. That one of them Sundays I was listening to, I heard him. Y'all was talking about all that. He took a boat ride. Y'all was talking about all the pilings and stumps and all that.
Ray Stanley texted me, man. Speak of the devil. He said Riverside is closed now.
That's crazy. I met Rita Dare there.
Yeah.
I went there with my my uncle took us over there, and he was having them boat races, and he was big into that. I got to shake his hand. They had some crazy little boats back in.
Well,
ain't much different now. All right.
Well, Mike, hang in there. It's going to turn sooner or later. You'll be able to get back to Venice. They're probably missing you over there. Those redfish.
Well, they are, but
for a while, buddy.
Yeah, well, I gotta get back that Sunday night after the show. So I go back fishing that following Tuesday. So.
All right. Well, I'll work on the weather for you. Well, throw them out a number if somebody wants to call you about coming over.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
All right. Well, Mike, always a pleasure, man. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, bud. Have a good
All right, see you. All right, that's Captain Mike Jeffcoat, Venice, Louisiana, RJ's Hunting and Fishing.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 621 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down to G-Town. Let's talk to our good friend with Outcast Charters, Captain Michael Sharky Marquez. Sharky, what's up?
What's up? What an intro.
What's happening, Captain?
Man, love that.
That's
love
it.
That.
So you want to go sharking, huh, boy?
That's I play that when we're going midsummer, when we're going on our shark hunts, you know.
Yep.
Kick on that song and head out. Love it, love it, love it. Well, how are we doing today?
I couldn't be better. Life is good, and you?
We're great. We're great. I get to go fishing today. So any day I get to go fishing, I am happy, happy, happy.
Yes, sir.
So I'm excited, and that weather's going to hold off for us today. It looks nice, low winds, looking like some sun might even peek through, and I think that post-front bite is going to be really, really good.
Well.
I think it's going to be really good.
I can't disagree with that.
So we'll see. We're going to get out there and give it our best. You know anything about crab this season? Have you heard they're I guess I've heard a couple different things, but I guess they might be shutting the crab season
well,
down.
Well, yeah, they have that crab trap roundup every year where they get volunteers to help TPNW clean all the abandoned crab traps out of the bays.
Wow. So that's what's going on. That's what I heard. I heard that they were doing. I heard a couple different things, but I heard that they were doing the cleaning of the crab traps. I didn't know that that's the way they did it with some volunteers.
Yeah, all the commercial crabbers, they pull all their workable traps out of the water. All their lines, and then they've got a 2-week period there where they probably pressure wash all of them. Well, those things get nasty. Have you ever pulled an old one up out of your, put it in your boat, they're filthy. And, well, just look at a crab boat from, winching them up every day and all that stuff shaking all over the side of the boat. They got stuff growing on the side of those hulls that we don't even know what's in it.
Yeah. It's a different kind of species going on, whatever.
Yeah, and they get all the abandoned ones out that have been abandoned or blown off. A lot of you'll get storms and they'll move them they get out of land where they can't run them. They can't find them. And
well, there's some great fishing around those things, huh? In the summertime though.
Sometimes, we've had some, especially wade fishing, man, you get that one line of crab traps that's kind of out from where you're fishing. And a lot of times you can pull fish off of those.
Yeah,
especially the old abandoned ones that are holding. They may have some kind of bait fish inside of them. You know, a lot of fish get in those traps, and that's why they want to clean them out of the bays, because a lot of fish will get in and can't get out. And
yeah, sure, sure. Well, I'm pretty sure I could sell the sell some fresh crab right about now at the out basin for $10 a piece live if I had it.
Well, I'm telling you.
Everybody's looking for it this morning. I'm on a group messenger with all the captains out there, and everybody's like, man, where do we get it? Where do we get it?
Well, good it makes luck. Everybody probably wish they'd have put some back and froze them in a freezer. I know it's not as good after it's been frozen that it is when it's
that's
fresh.
Right. That's right.
But we it do. Is, yeah, that's what it we is have. Crab when nobody else has got it.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes a difference when the 15 boats lined up at the jetties and everybody's throwing, you know, whatever, menhaden or whatever, and you've got that couple lines out with that fresh crab, buddy, you better hold on.
Well, maybe you need to get your little kid in your neighborhood there to start putting out some chicken necks and running crab lines
kidding.
And saving them up for you, buddy. Pay him prime dollar.
You ain't kidding. That's the way to do it. I'm on the search now. I'm on the search. Got to find us a little kid ready to catch some catch some crab.
Go by Kroger or HEB and buy a big old pile of chicken necks and give them to him. Say, hey, son, here you go. Here's your lines and your chicken necks. Keep me in crab till this crab season starts back up.
I say, man, when you reach 100, you know, when you reach 100, oh, you could hop on the boat. We'll take you fishing.
Sure. I guarantee you'd do it, too.
I like it.
Trade out. A little bartering.
A little bartering never hurt nobody.
No.
So, we'll see. I think it should be really good out there, Mickey. I think today is going to be phenomenal. And we're going to I'll probably fish. I really like in the inside of the North Jetty this time of year. If you're ever out at jetties and I'm on a charter, you'll probably catch me fishing, you know, somewhere around the boat cut, in between the boat cut and that second jetty marker.
Yeah.
Chunking some live shrimp up into the rocks or, you know, getting some big pulls out. That's just a great spot where you can do both at once.
Yeah, you got a good wind for inside the, you know, the channel side of the North Jetty this morning. It's a northeast wind, so it'll be protected on the channel side. That's where
perfect.
I'm seeing. It has come up a little bit. It's like, you know, up into the bay, it's 11 and 12, and then at the North Jetty, they're showing 14. And North Jetty's always a little bit higher than everybody else.
Right.
Galveston Fishing Pier showing 6, San Luis Pass 8. So it's doable. It's better than what we had the last 2 days, I can tell you that, bud. Man, that was a blow. We had some gust, man. I guarantee you I had gust at my house, 35 or better.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's accurate. I know I fished it 2 days ago and it was
nasty
stuff blowing in. Yeah.
You and Richard Totch, the fish dude. I mean, he fished Lake Conroe Thursday with all that rain and that cold wind, and just he had guys from Montana said they hadn't ever been that cold.
Yeah. Oh, man. That wind is shattering. It is just, it'll break through anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the fishing's great. The fishing's great when that wind picks up for the first time and you still have good water clarity out on those rocks or out, you know, out wherever you're fishing. If you've got good water clarity and that wind picks up and it starts moving bait, you might have a good bite going on for an hour, you know?
Yeah.
It moves
it's
that water
season,
around
man.
And stirs things up. That is true. We'll see what everybody does looking for drum with no crab.
Yeah, redfish and big uglies.
That's it.
Where do you usually get your crab from, Boyd's?
Yeah, that's they have some inexpensive live crab, and it's worth a drive. I mean, especially, you know, we've got 4 boats going out, or 3 boats or whatever, and we're getting 20, 30 pounds of it. Oh, my gosh, it's worth, you know, driving off the island to grab it there. So that's where, you know, that's where we would do. We would also do, a lot of our retailers on the island would have it too. So anywhere between Galveston Bay Tackle and Bayou Bait and even the Yacht Basin, you know. I mean, it's just so inexpensive at Boyd's that it was hard to pass up when you're buying so much of it, you know.
Yep.
So usually I get Captain Shane to stop by on his way. He lives out that way. Sugar Shane. He'll be out this morning, and so I'm waiting to see his little. It's fun when me and him go out. I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see his live notification on. I got a trip this afternoon, and so he'll be out this morning. But when we go out together, you know, on two different charters, it's always a competition to see who's going to go live first.
Yeah.
And so that's always fun. You know, me and him are out there. One of these times I'm going to get him and I'm going to drive out there. And in the first like 2 minutes, I'm just going to hit live because he hops on there and he watches.
And starts. Get him to start
gotcha,
panicking.
Buddy. Yeah. Gotcha, buddy. So we'll see, man.
Yeah, how are you liking those new Hondas, man?
Unreal. Yeah. Unreal. They really, they are so smooth and so quick. And with that electronic, you know, that wireless, there's no cables, you know, throttle
right.
cables.
Boy, it's smooth.
And so,
isn't it?
Boy, it's very
touchy.
Smooth.
You got to get used to it.
It is. No, it's very touchy, but it is so fast. And so smooth and so quiet, it's just nuts. I mean, anybody who's a disbeliever in Hondas, you know, I'll throw an invitation out to come hop on the boat and
not me.
We'll run it. I mean,
telling you.
Oh, man. They're sweet. I can't wait to break them in, you know, get them all broken in and be ready to rock.
Me too. Mine still, when I walk by it, every day when I'm outside and walk by it under my carport, it growls at me going, when are you going to take me fishing again? Well, I need a little break in the weather here.
Yeah.
Honda had last week off because I was in Corpus, but she'll get some work this week. Well, hey, man,
good.
If somebody wants to come down and get hooked up with you folks down in G-Town, Outcast Charters, what's the best way to do it, Sharky?
Yeah, absolutely. They can hop on our website at Outcast Fishing with no E, FISHIN, charters.com. You can click your boat, click your captain, click your trip, and get yourself booked through a deposit, or you can even pay in full for the trip there. Also, check out our Facebook page. We do live videos and post daily pictures of what we're out there catching at Outcast Charters. You can always give us a call at 979-248-1529 with any questions or booking as well. So, man, there's a whole bunch of different ways to get a hold of us. We'd love to have you out, and let's
Very
go make
good.
Some memories, man.
Cool
Do
deal.
It.
All right, well, y'all enjoy the day. Good luck to you, man. Y'all catch them up.
All right.
All right,
Thanks,
buddy.
Friend.
Going live. All right, see you, man. All right, that's Captain Sharky Marquez in G-Town. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:38 here in the Bayou City already. All right. Well, no plug this morning. We know he's in Costa Rica. He was supposed to pick up, but he didn't. But even better, we're just going to go to Corpus Christi, and we're going to talk to our good friend Captain Cliff Webb, going deep with him down there in shallow water. Going deep in shallow water. Cliff, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's happening,
bro? He's probably too busy to pick the phone up down there in Costa Rica, man.
He may be. Oh, they may be doing something on the boat, man. They're fishing some kind of ladies' tournament, and
he's
him
all
and
nice
Cameron,
and warm so down there, man.
They're getting after it.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, all good here, Mickey. Just kind of pressing after you left. Just kind of a letdown. It's like, man. It's like. Elvis left the building, you know. It's like, man, Mickey's gone.
Oh, man. I tell you, I wish I could stay a whole week down there with you. That was so much fun. Golly, fishing with a guide, and all I got to do is cast. Yeah, throw over that way.
Well,
you might get one. Bam, I got another one, Cliff.
You know, it's kind of like putting a fox in the hen house. That was just too easy, man. There's a lot of feathers flying out of that boat, let me tell you. Especially with Mark. God, what a machine. All those guys in Louisiana are like that, Mickey. They just fish, man. They're just good.
That's it. Hey, that you know, when you can, That's pretty awesome when you got three pros in a boat together, and it just, hey, fish on, baby, fish on.
That was pretty good, man. Well, it was funny, that first wave we made, you know, we got so lucky on that fog, Mickey. We got on our spot right before daylight, and boom, that fog just locked in. We were already on the shore, but, boy, that was a lucky move. If we left 10 minutes later, we'd have missed that little window to get on that beach.
Yeah, that's true.
That was good on Monday. You know, we got in there and still almost got run over one time, but it wasn't too bad. But
yeah, it was some old mom and pop dude. He didn't have a clue. He didn't know where he was at or where he was going. He just had to see that bank, though, to run down it.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. You know, at least when you see something coming like that, you're close enough to the bank to step up on it. You know, so that's a good thing. We're close enough where he'd gotten any closer. But, yeah, that was great having you down, Mickey. That was a – you know, it was a good wave. We didn't catch anything. We caught a couple six-pounders, I think, on that wave, you know, but nothing real big. But I had a giant one on there. I just still regret not laying in that blast or not closing that deal on that fish. Man, that was
well,
a good one.
Well, I missed that good one on that orange and gold broken back, too, that old redfin. I went old school there.
I think that was your fish. I went back and went after it.
No, there was plenty in there. That probably wasn't the same fish. But that one spot where you were at, there, that's where the good bites were. You know, you could just tell. And that's where I missed that one good one.
Yeah. You know, I walked, you know, I had 10, 11 fish on the way down. But on the way back, I had those two bites. But one of them, I was walking down that beach, and real close to shore, there's just one little dark patch of grass. And I flipped that regular corky, that salmon color corky up there. And I brought it to top, see how it was working, how you flip it up, see how it's working, see if it's working straight.
Right.
And this fish just never touched it, but just boiled it, made a big boil. And when she boiled out, she made a mud streak. She hit it so hard. And then when she took off, two more burnouts up on the beach. So I said, man, I am not moving. So I stood there about 10 minutes and started working around the clock, you know, and boom, I got her. And then I set the hook on that fish, and I got her. I'm finding her. I come back, and two of the hooks were straight into the corky. And it was my fault because that corky was probably 20 years old. And normally I always change the hooks out on it, but it was just one of those I grabbed out of the box and didn't change the hooks on it, and it was my fault. I should have got that fish with better hooks. It was a rookie mistake there. Just, you know, I was so excited about fish, I just grabbed one out of the box and had fish for 20 years and just tied it on and see if I catch a fish on it, and sure enough, that's the one that's going to eat.
Well, they like that salmon hook color and that pink, man. That was
that was a neat color.
The bite was on the pink, whether it was a corky or a soft plastic. If it was pink, they lit it up, man. It's crazy.
Well, I remember that one of you guys put that pink on, I guess, when we made that drift. God, it's like a different day. It was just, I mean, every cast, boom, boom, boom. And those are some solid fish out there drifting. Those are, you know, 2 to 4 pounders out there drifting. Those are nice fish, Mickey, for the time of your drifting.
And there's tons of them. I mean, you kept, every time you turn around and make another drift, you'd move a half a mile down one direction or the other, and it's the same thing, you know, same result.
Yeah, and it's funny. You think down here when those fish are migrating like that, they're in a move. They're going down that line. You know, when you normally fish, you hit a pot of fish, you turn back around, you sweep that area again, you kind of get back over that school, or you power pole down, you stay on them. But there's so many fish right now, you can just pull out and go back down and hit another school, another school, another school. This will last like that until they all filter in the bay. But that's a neat situation where you don't have to really, you know, target the same area, the same school. You can just drift across and catch other ones. You notice it was funny how all those bigger fish were laying on that line from grass to sand.
Yeah.
You know, and if we had a south wind where I could have worked a total more down that.
Oh, Lord, we could have worked down the ledge of that, you know, on that edge. Mm-hmm. And, man, there ain't, you know, we may end up pulling a big one out of there.
Yeah. We pulled some big ones out of that doing that. And I think Joey Ferrett had 1 6-pounder doing that a few days ago. But, you know, it's just nice to see those bigger fish. And I sent some of that stuff I shot in slow-mo. I hope you got it. But that's some cool stuff.
I did. That's pretty cool, man. You don't realize
so big in slow-mo too.
How much water a trout can suck through his gills and spit it out and shake it around and everything. Do you see it in super slow-mo like that and just see what they really do with just a couple of head shakes?
It helps you as an angler realize about keeping the line tight, keeping your rod down, what's going on with that fish, because it does it so fast in record time. You don't really see that. But when you slow it down, you go, well, no wonder – he's biting that big jade head. You know, notice how they're snapping their jaws all the time, trying to break stuff loose in their jaws. You notice how that fish, they just pop their jaws all the time, trying to break that hook loose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, a redfish is tough, but a redfish is just a pulling match. A trout is, man, he's trying to get that thing out of his mouth anyway. He can. He's flipping. He's jumping. He's doing everything he can to get whatever.
Oh, he's so radical, man, and erratic and everything. They're like, you know, they're pros at shaking hooks, and they can do it.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. That was a great crew you brought down. Man, what a bunch of good fishermen. That was a good crew that came down. I hope you guys do it next year. That was a lot of fun.
Well, David and Tony, you know, they fish with me and Mark all the time. And they entertain customers through their company and everything with us. And, you know, I took them with Charlie last year. We had a great time. But, no, that bunch of guys, they fished with us a lot. And, you know, it's just great to have customers like that. I mean, there's no babysitting. You know, they got all the right gear, you know, quality tackle and all that. And they just they love to do it like we do. Just point them in the right direction, and they're going to go perform for you.
Yeah.
And everybody was real impressed with, you know, with Jarrett. They talked so good about him, said what a nice young man and what a great guy he's going to be because he's, you know, he's knowledgeable and he's real polite. And just they couldn't say enough nice stuff about Jarrett.
Yeah, well, I knew when David Rousey recommended him, he was good because David, you know, David's picky about who he recommends to me and hurt anybody. So Jared must have been top notch, and he was. I really enjoyed meeting him.
Good young man.
It was so cool. It was his first guided trip, and he's got you and I on his first guided trip. He said, "No pressure." He said,
"No pressure. It's no big deal, man."
I like that. It was really cool, man. But I'm glad you guys came over to the house, and my wife said she should have videoed more of that at the kitchen table. Us talking, she said that was some world-class stuff. All those stories that you and I were telling.
Boy, there was some big trout caught at that table, wasn't there?
Wasn't there? Man, that was good stuff, Mickey.
Man, and whoever did your mounts on your fish are just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And the two you have in the coffee table, those two monsters, you know, the way they did the skin mounts on both sides like that, I mean, that's quality. I've never seen any work like that. It was just so gorgeous. I mean, there's nothing
that's
prettier.
John Glenn, the same one that did Wallace's and all of us down here. See, back then, Mickey, we didn't have any replicas. It's all John Glenn. It's all skin mount. And the thing about John, he would never give you an inch anywhere. I mean, when he mounted it, it was 32 inches. It was 32 inches when it came out. It had an 18-inch girth. Had an 18-inch girth when it came out. It had 25 spots. Had the spots exactly the same because when they skin that fish, the spots are still there. You can still see them.
And then they just airbrush them.
Still there. Airbrushing right back. So the fish is exactly, you got the fins, you got the mouth, you got the teeth, even the gills on my fish are real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've had people that they catch a 30-inch fish and they call somewhere in Florida and they come back with a 32-inch fish. Yeah, this is my fish. I go, no, that's not your fish, man. That's an 11-pound fish. You caught an 8-pound fish, you know, but that's okay. But that's one thing about the skin mount. You know, that it is what it is on the skin mount. You can't really stretch those guys. And those fish like that, Mickey, I'm sorry, but I'll probably never see fish like that again. I hate to say that, but, I mean, what's the odds of seeing fish like that again with the pressure and we just don't have the numbers of fish like that anymore.
No. And you got to have the numbers to catch them, you know. It's just, you know, if you do have fish like that, they're few and far between, and you just got to get lucky and, you know, hit that fish at the right time when he's going to bite your lure, man, and hopefully you get him to you.
Yeah, and that's another thing, trying to land it. You look at that biggest fish I've caught, his jaw is cut in two from being on the trot line. When he was a younger fish, he got caught on one of those trot lines, probably back in Alazan, and the commercial guy probably just took a pair of pliers and just ripped him off. You know, they just take him and just twist him off, and they don't care if they cut their mouth. Cause, you know, and he swam off and survived. And then he made as big as he was. And then I caught that fish. First thing I noticed is, man, his jaw split and grew back together. That is just unbelievable looking.
Isn't that crazy?
He survived that. Yeah, he survived that.
But that's unique.
Yeah, it is unique about him. He's a cool-looking fish. I was hoping you'd get one like that, Mickey, but, man, if he'd have been there, you'd have caught him. You guys are really good. Man, that was awesome.
Well, you're good, too, man. I fished with all of them, and you're in my top tier now. That's another one to scratch off the bucket list. And that won't be the last time. You know, we'll do it again. I can't say enough. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot, and you know, people don't realize, you know, fishing all up and down this Texas coast, how different it is. You know, what a different scale everything is, and the way you have to fish, what lures to select, water clarity versus, you know, bait fish. I will say this. When you see a mullet flip in the Laguna Madre, you throw a bait in there, you're going to come back with something.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah, and it's funny because the back of the Bay Alaton, a lot of people, you know, back there, and there's giant rafts of mullet. The problem back there, Mickey, when those fish go off on those mullet, they feed and it's over. I mean, you better be there when they're feeding, and they lock up because they got a big old mullet in their belly, a mullet in their belly. They're going to not feed for a while. But down here, there's very few baits, and so there's like a bunch of wolf packs are always on a hunt for that bait.
Those fish are always swimming around looking for food, and you're going to get a lot more positive strikes. You may not catch as many fish quick, but if you're willing to put the effort in, you're going to steadily catch them all day long.
Now, did Bob and those guys go down and fish the back of the bay, or they go to – where did they go fishing? They went somewhere.
No, Raz and all them were fishing. They fished Cayo de Grujo and Alazan.
Right, Alazan.
And Bob Hardy went down to Port Isabel. He fished with Ernie.
Oh, okay. Cisneros. Isabel. Okay, I knew they were down south, but they had
him and Bruce Ball went down there with him, and they did catch a couple over eight. They had a really sweet trip, man.
Oh, my goodness.
They had a sweet trip.
Oh, man.
Ernie's the man down there.
Oh, I know it, man. He's got to catch those big snook, too, I think.
Yeah, he does.
He's got to catch the big snook. He's been doing that the longest down there, hadn't he? He's been there a long time.
Yes, and they were concentrating on small potholes along the intercoastal, you know, and wading about knee-deep to thigh-deep water. And throwing saw plastics was definitely the best bait. But Lee's and hot rods and a few top waters, I mean, they had a mix. But kind of like our deal, you know, we threw everything at them. We caught something on a little bit of everything. But the major bite was definitely a pink original Corky and a pink Little John. Couldn't get it back.
They were on that pink. Man, they were on that pink.
See, in the week before, you said they were on Watermelon Red and Purple Demon. And that's something
how
it changes?
Yeah, and I made a mistake on here. I caught that big fish on a watermelon gold, and it red watermelon, that instead of a plum, because a plum doesn't come in that big one. But I get that one mixed up with that provoker, that glow truce or whatever.
Yeah.
I get those mixed up because I'm always throwing that big one as a plum. And sometimes I mix it up as a Little John, but no, it's not. It's a provoker that's a bigger plum. But
yeah, the provoker's like called a go truce, like the Cajun G-E-A-U-X, go truce.
Yeah, and that's one of the only colors I'm throwing right now in that thing. I just love it. And but those colors right there,
through their company and everything with us, and you know, I took them with Charlie last year. We had a great time, but. No, that bunch of guys, they fished with us a lot, and, you know, it's just great to have customers like that. I mean, there's no babysitting. You know, they got all the right gear, you know, quality tackle and all that, and they just they love to do it like we do. Just point them in the right direction, and they're going to go perform for you.
Yeah.
And everybody was real impressed with, you know, with Jarrett. They talked so good about him, said what a nice young man and what a great guy he's going to be, because he's, you know, he's knowledgeable and he's real polite, and just they couldn't say enough nice stuff about Jarrett.
Yeah, well, I knew when David Rousey recommended him, he was good, because David, you know, David's picky about who he recommends to me and hurt anybody, so Jarrett must have been top-notch, and he was. I really enjoyed meeting him. And
good young man.
It was so cool. It was his first guided trip, and he's got you and I on his first guided trip. He said, no pressure. He said,
no pressure. It's no big deal, man.
I like that. It was really cool, man. But I'm glad you guys came over to the house, and my wife said she should have videoed more of that at the kitchen table. Us talking, she said that was some world-class stuff. All those stories that you and I were telling.
Boy, there was some big trout caught at that table, wasn't there?
Wasn't there? Man, that was good stuff, Mickey.
Man, and whoever did your mounts on your fish are just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And the two you have in the coffee table, those two monsters, you know, the way they did the skin mounts on both sides like that, I mean, that's quality. I've never seen any work like that. It was just so gorgeous. I mean, there's nothing
that's
prettier.
John Glenn, the same one that did Wallace's and all of us down here. See, back then, Mickey, we didn't have any replicas. It's all John Glenn. It's all skin mounted. The thing about John, he would never give you an inch anywhere. I mean, when he mounted it, it was 32 inches. It was 32 inches when it came out. It had an 18-inch girth. It had an 18-inch girth when it came out. It had 25 spots. Had the spots exactly the same, because when they skin that fish, the spots are still there. You can still see them.
And then they just airbrush them.
Still there. They airbrush them right back. So the fish is back. You got the fins, you got the mouth, you got the teeth. Even the gills on my fish are real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've had people that they catch a 30-inch fish and they call somewhere in Florida and they come back with a 32-inch fish. Yeah, this is my fish. I go, no, that's not your fish, man. That's an 11-pound fish. You caught an 8-pound fish, you know, but that's okay. But that's one thing about the skin mount. You know, that's, it is what it is on the skin mount. You can't really stretch those guys. And those fish like that, Mickey, I'm sorry, but I'll probably never see fish like that again. I hate to say that, but, I mean, what's the odds of seeing fish like that again with the pressure and the – we just don't have the numbers of fish like that anymore.
No. And you got to have the numbers to catch them, you know. It's just –
that's it.
You know, if you do have fish like that, they're few and far between, and you just got to get lucky and, you know, hit that fish at the right time when he's going to bite your lure, man. And hopefully you get him to you.
Yeah, and that's another thing, trying to land it. You look at that biggest fish I've caught, his jaw is cut in two from being on the trot line. When he was a younger fish, he got caught on one of those trot lines, probably back in Alazan, and the commercial guy probably just took a pair of pliers and just ripped him off. You know, they just take him and just twist him off, and they don't care if they cut their mouth. Cause, you know, and he swam off and survived. And then he made as big as he was. And then I caught that fish. First thing I noticed is, man, his jaw split and grew back together. That is just unbelievable looking.
Isn't that crazy?
He survived that. Yeah, he survived that.
But that's unique.
Yeah, it is unique about him. He's a cool-looking fish. I was hoping you'd get one like that, Mickey, but, man, if he'd have been there, you'd have caught him. You guys are really good. Man, that was awesome.
Well, you're good, too, man. I fished with all of them, and you're in my top tier now. That's another one to scratch off the bucket list. And that won't be the last time. You know, we'll do it again. I can't say enough. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, fishing all up and down this Texas coast, how different it is, you know, what a different scale everything is. And the way you have to fish, what lures to select, water clarity versus, you know, bait fish. I will say this, when you see a mullet flip in the Laguna Madre, you throw a bait in there, you're going to come back with something.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah, and it's funny because the back of the bay, Alazan, a lot of people, you know, back there, and there's giant rafts of mullet. The problem back there, Mickey, when those fish go off on those mullet, they feed and it's over. I mean, you better be there when they're feeding, and they lock up because they got a big old mullet in their belly. They're going to not feed for a while. But down here, there's very few baits, and so there's like a bunch of wolf packs are always on the hunt for that bait.
Those fish are always swimming around looking for food, and you're going to get a lot more positive strikes. You may not catch as many fish quick, but if you're willing to put the effort in, you're going to steadily catch them all day long.
Now, did Bob and those guys go down and fish the back of the bay, or they go to – where did they go fishing? They went somewhere.
No, Raz and all them were fishing. They fished Cayo de Grujo and Alazan.
Right, Alazan.
And Bob Hardy went down to Port Isabel. He fished with Ernie.
Oh, okay. Cisneros. Okay, I knew they were down south, but they had
him and Bruce Ball went down there with him, and they did catch a couple over eight. They had a really sweet trip, man.
Oh, my goodness.
They had a sweet trip.
Oh, man.
Ernie's the man down there.
Oh, I know it, man. He's got to catch those big snook, too, I think.
Yeah, he does.
He's got to catch the big snook. He's been doing that the longest down there, hasn't he? He's been there a long time.
Yes, and they were concentrating on small potholes along the intercoastal. You know, and wading about knee-deep to thigh-deep water and throwing saw plastics was definitely the best bait. But lilies and hot rods and a few topwaters, I mean, they had a mix. But kind of like our deal, you know, we threw everything at them. We caught something on a little bit of everything. But the major bite was definitely a pink original Corky and a pink Little John. Couldn't get it back.
They were on that pink. Man, they were on that pink.
See, in the week before, you said they were on watermelon red and Purple Demon. And that's something
how
it changes?
Yeah, and I made a mistake on here. I caught that big fish on a watermelon gold, and it red watermelon, that instead of a plum, because a plum doesn't come in that big one. But I get that one mixed up with that provoker, that Glowtruce or whatever.
Yeah.
I get those mixed up because I'm always throwing that big one as a plum. And sometimes I mix it up as a Little John, but no, it's not. It's a provoker that's a bigger plum. But
yeah, the provoker's like called a Gotruce, like the Cajun, G-E-A-U-X, Gotruce.
Yeah. And that's one of the only colors I'm throwing right now in that thing. I just love it. And but those colors right there.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today. All right.